Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio Scene, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
And sometimes cannabis isn't for people.
You know, my best friend.
No, in all fairness, mine's usually a little liquored up.
I'm just going to say.
And so, it looks like, I know it's surface, so I just got distracted. Squirrel, but it looks like a lightning bug. Yeah. Anyway, so cannabis emphasizes everything. So, you know, if you've got a little bit of loopies going on, if you're going to get real loopy real quick, you put some cannabis on top of that because it's like a magnifying glass for your body.
Perfect. And so you're able to go to those certain places where you're having this. I believe everything in the body can be centered and balanced.
Oh, absolutely.
It's up to you on how much work you want to put into that.
And I was going to say it's not easy, but it's easy. What I'm going to say is it's time consuming. And that's the truth of it. Because if you know your body.
It's time consuming only if you make it time consuming. If you make it as something that you're being accountable for.
Yeah, daily routine.
Because this is, once you're balanced, it doesn't take away from your other parts of your life. It only adds.
Kind of like your balance breaks here. You've got two sides of, got one cheese side, one nut side. Nuts and berries. You've got to have your nuts and berries. Very balanced. Chat with us. Call us live 646-915-8421. And Tumbleweed Health Center, thank you so much for always sponsoring this groovy show that we have. We're open today. Yesterday we took the day off. We gave you a little bit of a break. But we're open today. Come on down. 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. If you suffer from PTSD, cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, ALS, Crohn's, agitation of Alzheimer's, a chronic or a debilitating disease or a medical condition, or the treatment for a chronic or debilitating disease or medical condition that can cause wasting syndrome, severe and chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, characteristics of epilepsy, persistent muscle spasms like multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, restless leg syndrome. We get a lot of that in there. All sorts of, If your condition is not on this list, don't worry, because the way the state of Arizona handles our challenges is if you've got migraines or if one of these conditions, like it said, if you're being treated for a condition that causes this and the treatment causes headaches or pain or nausea,
so it takes
you
a little due diligence to go look
through.
You
can get qualified. We can usually qualify someone that comes in and says, I have something that's not on this list. And I say, well, like insomnia. Two people come in and they say, I can't sleep tonight. And I go, gosh, this is such a great remedy for that. Does your insomnia, because it's not on the list, does it happen to cause migraines or pain of sorts or nausea even? Because, you can get IBS from not sleeping, which is usually what that's from.
Right.
Which, irritable bowel.
And kidney problems.
When you can't sleep, folks, your body can't rejuvenate. I know this firsthand.
Outside now.
Yeah. So,
if you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
Oh, wow. We're going to clap. I'm showing a new tattoo. Let's see this. Maybe I'll get one soon. No, I didn't get to see that. I need a new one. It's been 21 years since I've had a tattoo. Well, no, I got these little letters more recently. Mm-hmm. But, ow, that E hurt. Did that hurt? That looks like
down at the bottom, right here towards this right here,
towards the Achilles tendon.
Yeah, Achilles tendon. I was like, it didn't hurt up here. I got some muscle up here, but that trunk of that tree.
Ew.
Intense.
Welcome back to Wednesday, folks. No reason. Sorry, whatsoever. we're just chatting all things cannabis, which includes tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know it really does. You know what I wanted to chat about today, other than marijuana? Terpenoid education. I think looking at the cannabinoids and the terpenoids, I know we go over this every once in a while, but I think for the new folks that
You know what? For me, it's really good because one of my friends always said, "You like that lemony skunk stuff?" And I laughed because I love the lemon skunk, lemony skunk, if you will.
The lemony skunk.
Lemony skunk. And part of the reasons I love lemony skunk here is because of this. Limonene is one of the terpenes inside this plant, and here's what it does for you. Just when limonene is in your body, in your plant, and you're ingesting it, it's an anti-anxiety.
Mm.
It's an anti-depression. It'll make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-tumor, antiseptic, anti-stress. Let's bring it down a notch. Immunostimulant. Stimulate your immune system. Orange aroma. Energizing, so you're happy, you're uplifted. Produces apoptosis of breast cancer cells, which means if you have breast cancer, you should be taking stuff with limonene because the cells eat themselves and therefore kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is good to read. It's an antimicrobial. Used clinically to dissolve gallstones.
Wow.
Relieves heartburn and gastrointestinal reflux and increases blood flow from the heart. We're going to clap for limonene. What would be the skunk part in here? Probably a
I would say the myrcene.
Mm-hmm. Or even the, well, too bad. Here, why don't you
read it? Earthy. Myrcene's earthy.
Let's see.
Carophylline can be earthy at times.
Pinene.
Pinene is very,
very piney. Very foresty.
That's your stress reliever. And, well, also anti-anxiety, too.
Mm-hmm. Sedative. Sleeping.
Well, it's why we've talked about this before. It's the enjoyment of camping. You're up in the trees, the pines, and usually when I say camping, you're in
anti-inflammatory, anti-convulsant, anti-epileptic, stress reliever, anti-convulsant. So if you've got Parkinson's or anything of that nature, apining is what you want to be using.
Get up on that.
Get up on that apining. Now, let's look. Now, this is just from – now, we're just – we're not even using lemon skunk right now. We're using bubble gum. Maybe we should. But we're just remembering the strain lemon skunk, and we're trying to pull out our experiences. So let's look at Leafly just for fun and see what Leafly has to say about what's in lemon skunk. Ooh, that's intense. See how good we do. Lemon skunk. No, not skinks. Lemon skunk. Here we go. What does it say? And where is it? Lemon skunk. Okay. Was conceived from two separate skunk phenotypes that displayed exceptionally zesty lemon traits. The skunky citrus flavor draws you in immediately, and the happy energetic buzz will shake you out of any funk. DNA Genetics has developed lemon skunk as a great strain for battling depression and stress. So it's very happy, very uplifted, very relaxed. And you notice that the minute you use it, it says lemon skunk and citrus. You're just happy. I'm not seeing, it says it came from two different skunk traits. So maybe if we just search the different skunk strains and find out what's in there. Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch. So it didn't say which one. Maybe we'll find that out later, and we'll check it out. Here, maybe this is the link to the skunk phenotypes. No, this just gives you some different strain names. So, anyway, lemon skunk for those who want to chillax and get happy.
It also tells you where their terpenoid chart is, too.
As far as what? I know, that's lineage. Here we go.
Yeah.
There's the strain data. Oh, so it's telling you how high it grows, the yield you can get, and it's usually 7 to 9 weeks of flowering.
Here we go.
Skunk number one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hybrid, skunk number one. So here it is. Good job. Skunk number one is a hybrid strain that has influenced cannabis on a global scale, parenting a horde of high skunk crosses since it first bloomed in the late 70s. Sacred Seed Company originally bred Skunk Number One, which is one of our favorites. We love that one. Using diverse genetics from around the world, Afghani, Acapulco Gold, and Colombian Gold varieties. No wonder we love this. converge through an intricate selective breeding process that spans several generations, and finally the genetic cornerstone of countless cannabis hybrids was born. The original skunk number one gave rise to several variations that were later harvested in the gardens of Sensi Seeds, Dutch Passion, and many more. Okay, let's see. It's a blend of, it says sour skunkiness and subtle earthy notes. I'm still not seeing the terpene data. Or profile. I wonder if we could find that. Terpene profile of skunk number one. Why don't we could do that, huh? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, terpene profile of skunk. Sorry, folks. I know, I did too, but we're just going to find it out. It might be on. Here's some different labs. Some different lab tests that came up.
Good, that number one, analytical.
Let's see what we got here. Do we have any terpenes?
Go to the other one.
Go to the other one.
Folks,
we're searching
right here at the top.
We're searching. We're Googling. We're GPSing as my best friend to save lives. We're social media. What are we doing?
We're
doing it live.
You're with us. So we're actually on analytical360.com.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Okay, let's make sure we're looking at the
now, this is their certain one, I'm guessing, from
Richmond Beach. Cannabis Collective, Pennsylvania. No. Let's see. So here's their terpene profile for skunk number one. Okay. So it's got the highest terpene is linalool, 2.85%. Your next highest is myrcene. Humulene. Ooh, and carophyllene. I don't know about humulene. Let's see what it says about this. Can we? No.
This is a humulene right here.
Oh, there we go.
Antitumoral.
Antibacterial. What does it say?
Hoppy aroma.
Hoppy aroma. Oh,
and
yeah.
And this is where they've told us that actually beer and marijuana are cousins in the lineage.
This suppresses the appetite.
Oh.
Skunk number one suppresses the appetite.
That's so cool to find that, to know
that.
Why that.
Well, to know which one does,
mm-hmm.
because everyone always says, you know, I want to get the munchies. I want the one that makes you not eat. Ask for a humulene in your profile. And see, this is what's great about terpene profiles, because we're getting to a point where people say, all right, I've got this kind of cancer. I've got rheumatoid arthritis. I've got IBS. I've got Crohn's. And we're going to say, well, if you want it, limonene would help with all of that, what I just mentioned, but specifically, if someone says, you know, I have breast cancer, we're going to say get some lemon anything in your mix, because this produces apoptosis, which is the a cancer cell's ability to eat itself, so it kills itself, of breast cancer. So that's amazing right there, that in and of itself, because people come in and they want specifics, and, you know, we don't always have them, but we do now. Well, we're getting there. And we love it. All right. Let's get back to that. So there are some, carophyllene, myrcene, limonene, terpenolene, beta-pinene, alpha-pinene, and carophyllene. There was 4.43% terpene total. So I wonder how we go about getting our terpene profiles just super advanced, you know.
Were they just
super
like
super pronounced?
Mm-hmm.
That's 4%. I wonder if we can get it higher than that. You know what I mean?
Well, of course, adding terpenoids back in, and that's what I was kind of looking at right now.
Being gentle in your extraction process,
well,
not to kill whatever you're.
You know, maybe you pop a little bit on some skunk number one, you eat some skunk number one, and then in your cooking, you add a little bit more, and then that's where I'm trying to go right now, is to find out. What are some of the, where's the properties of a humulene come from? Like, you know, like carophyllene, you can find in cinnamon, myrcene is found in mangoes, you know, pinene is found in pine trees.
Are you finding an original source here?
Yeah. And then, so where maybe you could add a little bit of that in to whatever you're doing. So you get a little bit of natural part of this a humulene.
You could just go stand in the forest and eat your spaghetti. I mean, I'm not saying.
That's a good one.
I know, I can't even help myself. Which I used to love to do when I lived in Northern California.
Okay.
kind of can't help it. The forest is just kind of all around. You just walk outside and you're in it.
Well, this
pretty
is
lovely.
Here, this is perfect.
Okay.
Humulene is an isomer of the B carophyllene.
Okay.
And the two are often found together as a mixture in many aromatic plants.
Okay. Like, do they give us a...
And they don't tell you what, but it tells you why. So B carophyllene would be...
They don't mean nothing as far as plants go. They don't say, hops. Well, they're telling you
hops
is one,
yeah,
which is why the essential oil of hops is this. Oh, interesting. Well, at any rate, we like discussing terpenes because they're important, and people don't know that. It's usually that this is the flavor and the taste comes a lot from.
So the isomer that
read it.
This one is the B carophyllene.
Yeah.
It's consistent in many essential oils, especially clove oil and the oil of the stems and flowers.
The essential oils of cannabis sativa and rosemary and hops as well. That is incredible. So see, careful, it's full of hops.
Fun stuff, guys. Fun
stuff. Keystone reference, all you Keystonians are out there laughing. Did you say you need a All right. How do terpenoids affect the body? So this is a little chart we're reading from an organization that's not around anymore, but they did do the chart. So apinine, which we love, the sleep aid, anti-anxiety, it's a sedative, bronchodilator. It has a pine aroma. It's anti-convulsant, it's a stress reliever, anti-epileptic, anti-convulsant, anti-inflammatory. It's a nice one. It's so lovely because you feel so great when you go out in the forest and take a big, deep breath and breathe all that time.
Especially if you're out there a couple days and you're breathing it in at night.
Yeah.
How you wake up is differently how than you would wake up.
I need to go camping.
For a lot of people. I'm not going to say for everybody. Some people can't stand it. I know, I get it. But
you're not the nature one. That's all
right. But hey, give it some time. I mean, if you're wanting to experience this, give it some time. And try those mini little spurts outside, just even outside of your house. If you want to be close by, go camping out in your backyard. Experience it.
Walk outside. Get in nature, folks. Come on.
Get in it.
Get in some nature. All right. Little. You mentioned this a lot. Little is also a sleep aid. Anti-anxiety, sedative, antibacterial, a pain reliever. It's got a floral aroma. It's an anti-convulsant, stress reliever, anti-epileptic, anti-convulsant, and analgesic. These things are, this is an amazing plant. Like, these are just...
The chemicals that are found in it are perfect.
Do you think they're going to create a strain that has every terpene in it? Do you think they could?
Ooh.
Wow.
I wonder...
Like a rainbow strain. I love it.
Watch it.
You guys...
You're not on top of it. You're not going to make money on this.
You're not on bubblegum, as we are. What's your strain of the morning? Call in 646-915-8421. Tell us what strain. Blog with us. There's some bloggers out there. What are y'all smoking this morning? Myrcene, anti-tumor, antifungal, anti-cancer, anti-spasm, sedative, AIDS, insomnia. There we go. Kosher Kush. All right. Anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, muscle relaxant, allows THC to take effect quickly. And levels less than 0.5% will result in the couch lock effect. It's got a musky aroma. B carophyllene, that was in your list in Humulene too. Anti-tumor, antifungal, antiseptic, anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, muscle relaxant, rich, spicy aroma. That's like your cinnamon. You put, get a little hot chocolate, put some cinnamon on top. Ooh, maybe a chai tea. Now, getting serious here. Talking chai tea.
This is for real.
I need one. Carophyllene oxide, we saw this one. Antifungal, pain reliever, spicy aroma, anti-asthmatic, and anti-inflammatory. A humulene, we just talked about, is an anti-tumor, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, suppresses the appetite, and it's got a hoppy aroma. Also, we've got terpenoline. This sounds lovely. This smoky wood aroma. I like it. It sounds like something stuck in your pipe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Antibacterial, antifungal, anti-insomnia, and antiseptic. Smoky wood aroma. Okay. I like it. Your chat for that. Terpenoline.
Named from the like top of terpenes. I mean, it's
top of the line, man. Smoky wood aroma. Terpenoline. The rainbow terpene effect. I wonder, do you think? I think they'll do it. I think they'll get out there and do it. Anyway.
They all have a name. They all have something that they give the body.
Oh.
There's 100.
Amongst the flavor and the scent that you're smelling, a lot of that is right here.
Right. Right now there's 140.
Different terpenes?
Different terpenes.
Oh.
You know, as we search out more, I'm sure there was more at one time.
Maybe, huh?
Well, I mean, and you think about these. Different terpenes, they're found in many different plants. So some plants have, many plants have all of this. Like turmeric falls into the
onion, pomegranate, cinnamon. Look at this. I mean, there's spices in here. I don't even know.
You know, turmeric's big on the thing right now. Everyone's been talking about it. It's
taking
your turmeric capsules, turmeric paste.
My besties are doing it, and it's working for them.
And
they should be. It's natural healer.
Right.
You know, I think more so now we're going back to where we were before all the chemicals. They tried the chemicals. They're making money off them, but they're not doing us any good. I mean, they're doing us some good in some ways. You know, not everybody is.
Right.
Some people need that. Let's just say some people do have the chemical imbalances and they need what they need right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in the form of a pill.
But this is
chemical.
Really nice to mix in with food.
So, yeah, mix in the natural way.
Right.
Going back to how
just
we did it before
it.
Chemicals. Well, cook with it, eat it. You know, I love in the show Deadwood, they've got this crazy doctor, you know, the one in camp that heals everybody, and one of the ladies is trying to get off laudanum. She wants to detox off laudanum. And the soil dev will call her, comes into the doctor's office and says, you know, you gave me something once and it helped me, you know, it helped my cramps and it helped everything. So he goes and he starts picking all these dry flowers, a little bit of this off. He's hanging from the ceiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got, you know, spice of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this. And he's sticking it in a bag and grinding it up. And he's like, here, take a little of this in your tea. And I'm not sure if this is the right mixture, but I think it's what I gave you last time. But he's just pulling all the natural herbs right from where he is. And that's one of my favorite scenes in that entire series. I absolutely love it. Just back to nature.
Like medicine. Maybe.
Oh, totally. Yeah. You know what else I love? I can't help it.
Added
puff, 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 puff,
into my house like, what up, I got some good pot, I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop, ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty, my friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey, rolling in hella high, looking like it's pizza time, dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries, draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me, probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, oh, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plants illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and PM shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a run, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hun, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
Oh, where are the sound effects?
We're back.
The phone turned off. I had it on Energy Saver. Oh, those darn effects. Welcome back to Weed Day Wednesday. Looks like I got a fun new game here before I get to... Oh, Panda, just quit it and get me my options back. Here we go. Welcome back to Weed Day Wednesday. We were talking terpenes, folks.
Yeah.
And then we started dancing and, you know, it was crazy. But we were talking about how awesome it is that terpenes are found just in all your everyday spices and herbs. Look upon your
essential
cabinet.
Oils.
Yeah, essential oils, your fruits, your vegetables.
Your teas,
what you're drinking in your tea. Does coffee have terpenes in it?
Some coffees do.
Let's just look. Let's
I know
that.
That they have been infusing them in.
Oh, that's sure.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think naturally. I think they're a lot. They're a different kind of.
Oh, they say some of the terpenes are removed from the coffee, probably in all the
roasting.
Yeah.
Too high, it will remove or burn.
Yeah, that's all right. They are bringing them back in. They put a lot of stuff in coffee these days.
Yeah.
It makes it super fun. It makes you want to have one of those super fun things, you know.
I don't ever want to.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, coffee
only
makes my belly hurt.
And I don't do the super sugary. Coffee does?
Mm-hmm.
I do decaf. I wake up like a little piano.
Yeah, anyway. It's the roasted part.
Yeah. Well, there are oils in coffee that are really harsh for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
I found I was a tea person.
You're more of a tea.
Mm-hmm. And enjoy that every day.
Yeah. I go back and forth. I love both. So, like in the afternoons, I'll do tea. In the mornings, I'll do one cup of decaf. I know. Go cray cray.
Yeah.
I know, it's so crazy.
What is it giving us? Like, what do you feel?
Well, I love the flavor. It's not,
okay.
It's decaf, so then
I get you.
I'm not like.
Is there a certain coffee that you enjoy the flavor of?
No, you know what's sad is the decaf selection is so minimal. It is. It's really sad. There's one.
You hear that, folks?
There's one at Sprouts. There's one decaf. Well, let me say, organic decaf. I apologize. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Likely. I was likely wrong on that. Likely. I reckon. Yeah. There's only one organic decaf there. And it's got a flavor. It's not the worst. It's not the best. It's kind of like cowboy coffee, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. You kind of drink it because that's what your dad did.
Mm-hmm.
Your paw did.
Mm-hmm.
Little house on the prairie.
Hey.
Some Waltons, you know?
Yeah.
And I made this.
The Nightmare Jones.
The Night John Boy.
Back to terpenes.
Oh, well, in cannabinoids. We love.
And all
know,
of it together.
We love it. We love it. So, we have people come in and we always offer hemp as a solution or as a way to help with pain and all sorts of stuff before you get cannabis, because we can offer that before we can send them out to dispensaries, because we don't have the cannabis at Tumbleweed Cell Center. We have some hemp, though. And we've got some really neat, nifty new things. We've got this patch, transdermal patch. It's awesome. It's 30 milligrams, and you can cut it up into however tiny little or long strips or whatever you want. That's a lot. 30 milligrams is a lot in one patch. So if you cut it up into little squares, you can stick it in the spot. We've got honey sticks. They're 5 milligram honey sticks. That's actually a lot, too. When you talk about cannabis and hemp, it's not the same as, you know, ibuprofen, you use 1,000 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. You know, 1 milligram of either is quite a bit. Quite a bit. It's a very potent plant. And you have to be careful with it. But we always offer hemp because a lot of people, they don't want the high, you know, and that's okay. They're new to this. They don't quite understand what the high is yet either, because actually the high can be some really great things for people. It can be very uplifting in their mood, you know. It can give them energy to clean the house where they wouldn't have otherwise. And who doesn't love a clean house? I know. And eat rubber foods. But the high can, you know, and I always say to the patients that come in, what's wrong with a little happy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is a stressful planet. There's a lot going on. There's a whole lot going on. Even if you don't know what's going on, there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always know what's going on.
We don't.
We don't. So the high can bring happiness. It can bring giggles. It can bring focus to people. For some people, it really makes people tune in.
True that.
Yeah, I started kicking my friend's butt at chess when I started getting high. It was really amazing. Or when I started using cannabis, because the high, and that's the misnomer. You're not trashed all day. The high is like, it's the onset of the medicine coming on, and then that goes away, and then you're just left feeling really great and out of pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So
and
I
some
have,
people really like and enjoy that first part.
Yeah.
And then the other part is a benefit of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the first part.
It's enjoyable.
But I don't like, so I like the highs that I get from indicas, and hear why. And people are like, that doesn't make sense. But here's why. And we talked about this last week. Pain can mask a lot of happiness and energy and giggles and things like that. So when I'm out of pain, which is what I use indicas for, fibromyalgia, scoliosis, things like that, I'm happy. I'm happy out of pain. Now, when I use a sativa that is supposed to just instantly make me happy, because that's what the THC levels in the sativas, they're different, and they bring on a lot of what they call the head high, the thoughtful high. That makes me stupid. That makes my face shut down, my eyes closed, I squint. I'm like, well, oh God, someone get me an indica quick, because I hit a sativa. I can tell instantly when I hit a sativa, and I'm down. I'm just dumb. I don't like the face slam. I like the body slam, because I like to be more intact upstairs. You know?
I got a lot
of thoughts going on up there. You see nothing whirling out in there.
Outer space.
They don't need swirling inside. They need to be on track, these little thoughts. So that was funny, because when we first opened Tumbleweeds and we started doing all this research and finding out the difference between indicas and sativas, I was quite disappointed that I wasn't the type of person that liked to get really high. You know, I like sativas. No, I like the boring old indicas, which are the best.
Well, and that's the best thing for pain. So that's,
and I found that's the best thing to me. And that's what you got to do. You got to find out what the best strain for you is. And that's, you know, that's why when people say, you know, which dispensary do you go to? Well, first of all, you're just going to feel when you go into a dispensary, it's, you know, it's kind of like going into a pharmacy. They're all a little different. Some are in the back of stores. Some are all on their own. Some are in your doctor's office. Some are at, you know, the hospital. All pharmacies are different. You like some more than others. Some have better waiting rooms. Some have better magazines. You know, education. And when you go to the dispensaries, you'll feel what feels right to you. And hopefully in all good, honest, and trueness, these dispensaries are honestly testing their medicine, giving out true test results. Because we've talked to many, we've had many testing facilities on air say that they've had dispensaries come to them. All of them have said this, and they would offer money to alter test results and skew them so that their THC levels are higher or their CBD levels are higher, which is what's, you know, in the media these days. So, you know, hopefully you can go and find a consistent strain that works for you. And hopefully, oh, fingers crossed, you find someone that has some knowledge and has some education, because a lot of times it's kind of like a fast food market. They're just hiring kids to serve a meal and get out. It's like, oh, you want an ounce of that, a gram of that, get out, you know. And there are so many new people in this industry and so many older people in this industry that they really need handholding, and they really need a lot of education to be able to properly use their medicine. You know, we get these scary stories where Grandma Goodheart goes to the dispensary and they sell her a candy bar and she eats the whole thing. And she never comes back to get recertified and sends a letter or an email or a note or whatever and says, this is why, and this is what happened, and this is what, who did it. And, you know, these, you know, the people handling the medicine out there, I hate that they call them bud tenders, because I think that's just a really lame term. But the people handling the medicine out there need to be educated. And if you're a dispensary owner, you need to make sure that you have continuing education for the people handling the medicine that are talking to the patients on the front line there that are coming in with, that are clueless.
Right.
Not in a bad way. They just don't know. And they've been told their whole lives how horrible this is. If the doctor gave them heroin and a pill, they'd take it because their doctor said it was okay. And
they need to have that same kind of feeling.
These are the doctors back in the
and I don't mean it like in the sense
my
but
doctor smoked
they
Paul
need
Ball.
To have some trust.
Well,
and have the right information that's coming out of
practicing medicine, they still are. I mean, and you do. Don't get us going on that.
Yeah.
But you do need to have some trust, and hopefully the place that you go to pick up your medicine, or if you have them deliver, they will deliver. I believe it's a very discreet operation. I don't think there's like sirens in a dispensary, green lights flying when people deliver. And they don't even have, you know, signs on the top of their cars like Domino's saying, here we come. Although that's not a bad idea. Yeah. Anyway, I know you guys in the green room are a little slow today of laughing. They must be on the kosher dish. But yeah, you know, go to the different dispensaries, check their testing records and how often they're testing. They should be testing every strain that comes in the door, should be tested before it's put out the door, before it's let out the door, rather. Good testing practices are important. Find out what's in your meds. You know, and
I know what your meds are being grown with.
Yeah. Where? Indoor, outdoor? How? Hydro, aero, soil? Some people prefer, you know.
Pesticides? No pesticides?
Yeah, people don't prefer pesticides. But they prefer plants grown in dirt. Well,
and they don't even know it.
No, no. Sometimes people do, and they do know it. And they'll tell you, I'll rather have the burger with some chemicals in it.
Yeah,
sure. Because they're used to it. When I first, the gods dumped me into Hippieville, when I was 21 or something, you know, Northern California, used the long hair hippie, just kind of go into that. My parents weren't really into that whole hippie thing, but kind of got there myself and tried all the different diets and the different fruit diets and the nut diets and the vegan diets, which made me so upset. I cannot ever be a vegan again, gods of all gods. Old and new, don't make me do it. I love cheese. I would miss cheese for that reason alone. But you got to try these things, you know, and you got to know your body. And when you go to the dispensaries, whatever you have going on, if it's pain, or trying to figure out, you know, looking at these different profiles with terpenes and cannabinoids and terpenoids, or trying to figure out, you know, what's good for you if you have RA, if you have breast cancer. Now people come in, I'm going to find out as much as I can about terpenoids now, not that I haven't before, but this is, you know, every time you read something, you learn a little something new, so I'm going to go back, do some more terpene research. People have asked me, what do I do if I have breast cancer? Well, now I can say, limonene is known to cause apoptosis in breast cancer patients. You know, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a step in taking, you know, healing in your own hands and doing what you can for yourself, which is, you know, really, really, really important these days. There's no care in health care. You know, there's a lack of that, I feel. A lot of people feel that when you go and, you know, even when you go to your vet or you go to the grocery store, or you go to your own doctor, people just, they're not as present, they're not there, you know, and we're hoping that at the dispensaries they will be, because it's an important place, you know. They have medical directors, but, you know, when you go pick up your prescription at wherever, Walgreens or wherever, and they've got that signature pad and they say, have you met with the pharmacist to discuss your medicine, yes or no? And then you sign off on it. Well, there's no one you're meeting with to discuss your medicine at the pharmacy. Medical directors are rarely there, which is a crying shame, because they should just be sitting there waiting to talk to people. Because there are so many people that come in, and we just don't have 24 hours in an 8-hour period to sit with everyone that wants to just sit down and discuss every part of what's going on and find out which terpene would be good for them, you know? And medical directors should be there to do that. But, you know, there are some really good dispensaries around. You have to go and check it out and feel it out. Go into each one. You'll get a good feeling. Find out who's educating. Find out what material they have out there for your own personal education. I'm not sure. I think you can go in the waiting room if you can sit in the waiting room if you're a non-patient and wait for whoever. But you have to be a patient to go in and actually look at the medicine and pick it out and take it with you. You can have a caregiver, which people are confused about these days, because that was kind of a growing thing. And it still is. But caregivers can pay an extra fee, an additional fee, and then they can go in and pick up the medicine for the patient. Can they go in with the patient?
They can.
Okay. Normally, people like to become caregivers because the patients can't go in themselves.
Right.
There's a lot of that.
That's what I was saying. They can if they want to. It's also a person that kind of has guidance in the strains that would be beneficial for the patient.
Yeah.
And dosing.
Right.
As well as consumption, how you're consuming it. Roots of
entrance. Good boy.
Sorry.
So here's an interesting headline. This is from High Times. Washington, D.C. to give minorities preference for getting into MMJ industry. That's right. Members of the Washington, D.C. Council advanced legislation to give local minority-owned companies a preference when applying for licenses to operate medical marijuana businesses. While states generally don't track the race and ethnicity of weed licensed applicants, it's obvious to anyone, hold on, we got a pop-up, who hasn't been living under a rock for the past decade, that most dispensaries and the vast majority of growing operations around the country are overwhelmingly dominated by white men. This is true. This lack of minority representation is especially problematic given that African Americans were and still are disproportionately arrested and incarcerated during the war on drugs, according to the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union. Marijuana use is roughly equal among blacks and whites, yet blacks are 3.3 times as likely to be arrested for possession, noted the ACLU. However, the nation's capital is the largest jurisdiction to join a growing nationwide effort to ensure that minorities are in a position to profit from legal weed sales after decades of being disproportionately prosecuted for using and selling it. Quote, I think we as the D.C. government have an obligation to make sure that minorities and local small businesses can get in on the ground floor and secure a piece of this foundation, quote, said Councilmember Robert C. White, Jr., who sponsored the recently passed legislation. Quote, we have locked up so many black people for marijuana, and I see it as incredibly hypocritical for those folks who return from prison on marijuana charges just to come back to a place that has now legalized and industrialized it, and they can't play any role in it, said White, according to the Washington Post. Now it could be a boon to these communities, but minorities have been left out. According to the Post, the emergency bill to give minority-owned businesses extra weight on their applications comes as the district is preparing to award a permit to open a dispensary in the overwhelmingly black neighborhoods east of the Anacostia River. A spokeswoman for D.C.'s Mayor Muriel E. Bowser says she's still reviewing the legislation, but her administration is taking steps to implement it. What goes on in Washington, D.C., apart from the all-out insanity in the White House? D.C. currently has 8 weed cultivation centers and 5 dispensaries. Only one cultivator is black. The ethnic composition of Washington, D.C. is 49% black, 49% black, 43.6% white. Why the disparity? According to a study released by the Urban Institute, although D.C. has undergone an economic boom over the past several years, the city's poor and largely minority residents are missing out on the gravy train. The study showed that the number of new businesses in the nation's capital exploded over the past 15 years, but in the poorest neighborhood, the number has actually dropped. The above-mentioned east of the Anacostia River is an area that, being relatively equal in terms of population to other D.C. neighborhoods, has missed out on most of the development seen in the city center. Washington, D.C. also happens to be one of the most segregated cities in the country, according to data guru Nate Silver, who crunched the numbers. Thankfully, this past February, D.C. lifted its prohibition against felons convicted of possession with the intent to distribute marijuana from entering the medical marijuana industry, citing the obvious racial disparities in how the law was enforced. In Oakland, California, the city council has specifically set aside half of its cannabis business permits for people arrested for drug crimes in the city or who come from neighborhoods with many drug arrests. I wish there was an interesting sound button, because it sounds like they're going to set some people up. That's just my first thought. I'm like, really?
Is this real?
Believe what you read, half of what you see.
That did not sound like that.
That's cray cray. It's just a joke by time. Because seriously, that doesn't sound real.
It sounds creepy.
It does sound creepy. Here, guys, we arrested you. Now we're going to give you some businesses.
Right. And,
but,
you know, with it being Washington, D.C., our state's capital, you would think, and you go, they're reaching out to. But we already know who's in the White House right now.
Yeah.
We already know that his view on this. So you can't be telling me that this is coming from right there in. Right in your own hometown.
Yeah.
I have a big fear of that. I don't know how that side feels. I would love to hear from someone on that side to an African-American business owner that is applying for their medical marijuana licensing to run a dispensary. I would love to hear from you. We would like to know your feelings on this law that's being passed, and
we're gonna be happy.
Yeah. Well, what do you not see it?
No.
I'd like to know if you see it.
Did we do this one last time? We're going.
No, we have not.
We're going hempy, folks. That's right. We're going hempy. In our last few minutes here, legal pushers. Yeah, legal pushers. Did you know in 2006? Now this is an old book. Remember. Just like the Bible, man. Getting all worn and torn.
Mm-hmm. So about 7 years ago.
Yeah. Global spending on prescription drugs topped $643 billion. The United States accounts for almost half of the global pharmaceutical market, okay, with $289 billion in sales, followed by Europe and Japan. But we take up almost half of all of it in the world. In the U.S., driven by advertisements on TV, the number of prescriptions written by MDs increased by over 61% over the last decade. Retail sales of prescription drugs jumped 250% from $72 billion to $250 billion, while the average price of prescriptions more than doubled from $30 to $68. The pharmaceutical industry reported spending $855 million more than any other industry on lobbying activities from 1998 to 2006, according to the Nonpartisan Center for Public Integrity. Even more incredible, a 2003 report entitled The American Medical System is the Leading Cause of Death and Injury in the United States by Gary Knoll, PhD, Carolyn Dean, MD, ND, Martin Feldman, MD, Deborah Rosario, MD, and Dorothy Smith, PhD, states, a definitive review and close reading of medical peer-reviewed journals and government health statistics shows that American medicine frequently causes more harm than good. The number of people having in-hospital adverse drug reactions, ADR, to prescribed medicines is 2.2 million people. Dr. Richard Besser of the CDC in 1995 said the number of unnecessary antibiotic prescriptions annually for viral infections was 20 million.
Mm.
Dr. Besser in 2003 now refers to tens of millions of unnecessary antibiotics. The number of unnecessary medical and surgical procedures performed annually is 7.5 million. The number of people exposed to unnecessary hospitalization annually is 8.9 million. Well, not anymore. They won't even let you in the door.
And this was 11 years ago, folks.
Yeah.
Back in 2006, these numbers came out. So can you imagine?
No. We need to get Ivan on the line. The total number of iatrogenic deaths induced inadvertently by a physician or surgeon or by medical treatment or a diagnostic procedure, accidental death by, 783,936 accidental deaths. The 2001 heart disease annual death rate is 699,697. The annual cancer death rate back then was 553,000. It is evident that the American medical system is the leading cause of death and injury in the United States. And you know what else can kill you? The fucking doctor can kill you.
And going
that's
to the fair.
True. People die at the fair.
People die at the fair.
People die at the fair. At 14% of the gross national product, healthcare spending reached $1.6 trillion in 2003. 17% of GNP, $2.5 trillion in 2010. Considering this enormous expenditure, we should have the best medicine in the world. We should be reversing disease, preventing disease, and doing minimal harm. However, careful and objective review shows the opposite. Because of the extraordinary narrow context of medical technology through which contemporary medicine examines the human condition, we are completely missing the full picture. Totally missing the full picture. You've got a nasty picture of a pharmacist with pills and needles and all sorts of stuff he's trying to push on you. So we're going to go over, we always do. So why the war on drugs? We've got the DEA slamming patients' heads down to the ground. Are you sure we didn't do this one? Oh, no. And patients are sticking their hands up in the air. And they're busting patients, not who they should be. The U.S. federal government spent over $15 billion in 2010 on the war on drugs, and police arrested an estimated 458,408 persons for cannabis violations in 2009. Of those charged with cannabis violations, approximately 89% were charged with possession only. An American is arrested for violating cannabis laws every 30 seconds. I think we're to 46 seconds now, though, so that's better. The average sentence for a first-time nonviolent drug offender is longer than the average sentence for rape, child molestation, bank robbery, or manslaughter. As our prisons rapidly fill to bursting, rapists and murderers are being given early release to make room for no-parole drug offenders. While law enforcement continues to go after relatively easy drug violation arrests, every major city in this country has a record number of unsolved homicides. So why not? We're on legal drugs.
They keep on letting the killers and the rapists out.
Yeah.
And they have a whole bunch of
cannabis users. My Lord.
Why not war on legal pushers?
Why not more bubblegum?
So you've got legal pushers. You've got a, you've got DEA coming in, and all these kids in the school are, there's pills all over the floor. There's pills. The kids are all dazed and out of it.
There's a little girl
overweight. It looks like she's on all kinds of different medications. The two little boys are just dozed out of their minds. Grandpa's over here picking them up. The doctor looks like he was, it must be a, kind of looks like a school.
And maybe it's a daycare.
Daycare.
Look, the little hanging mobiles are all pills and needles.
So it says, why not war on legal pushers? A new report conducted by the ProPublica Consumer Reports and the National Public Radio exposes rampant off-label prescribing, drug companies-funded speaking engagements, and legal, monetary, and gift compensation programs, all designed to push as many drugs on the public as possible. According to the report, the drug industry has spent roughly $7 billion in the past 3 years to pay out settlements for such practices. Mm-hmm. According to the whistleblowers, drug companies routinely break the law to increase drug sales even after they signed a compliance agreement promising to follow it. Now, the thing about this is they have the money to pay off these fines.
Right.
I think we need to go deeper and not be fines. But this is the thing is, someone's benefiting from these fines.
Well, that's the reason we're still in the mess that we're
exactly.
in.
Exactly. So we're
everybody's
just
benefiting from
feeding the monster.
Yeah, totally feeding the monster. And now we're just seeing it from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of crazy. It's a crazy yeah. little monster.
Well, we always love everybody tuning in with us and going off on our tangents.
Yeah, we really did today. So that's all right.
Thanks for
listening. Thank you for listening to Week 4 Wednesday. We love you guys. And we try and, you know, give you some up-to-date news, give you some opinions, give you some interesting information. I love the fact that we learned about our cooking rates.
And different strains of cows that are in them.
Yeah, what they're good for. And because when people come and ask, you can say, oh, hey, I heard this on Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in. Check out tumbleweedpestcenter.com. You can give us a shout out. And tune in next week. Candace Fig will not be here. And we're going to give a sound effect. And I think we're gonna play more of some of my favorite videos.
Mm-hmm.
Just relax at that point. All right. Thank you for tuning in, folks. We love you. Remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and
educate.
Mm-hmm.